from Luke 15, and then I'm going to get you all to talk to the person next to you for a minute. So at Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth and in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So I'm going to come back to that a few times throughout the evening. I'm going to ask you the question, what are your dreams? Not just actually, what do you remember what you dreamt last night, or what do you hope to do in 2 years' time, 5 years, but actually, what are your dreams for you? Who is it that you really want to be? Where is it that you really want to be in a year's time, 5 years' time, 10 years' time? I'm going to read from you for a moment from a book by Joe Saxton that is actually talking about finding our identity in Christ instead of in ourselves and in the world. So I'm just going to read this bit from her that she said. So before this, she's talking about actually our dreams are just a small part of what define who we are. Actually, what we are aspiring to, who we are trying to become and trying to be, that God says that is important. But it also depends where it comes from. So Joe writes, "You and I had an identity before anyone came along to tell us we couldn't be that person. We had a purpose long before experience told us we weren't worthy of one. We even had a voice, tiny though it might have been, before it was muted. Yet as life unfolds, you hear voices telling you you can't be the person you dreamed you'd become. Some are simply part of growing up. 'No, you are not Wonder Woman. No, your cape won't help you fly. No, you're not a princess. Life is not a fairy tale, and you won't live in a beautiful castle.' The more problematic voices are the ones that speak to your real identity and invalidate you. They sound authoritative. 'You're a bit too assertive. Girls aren't supposed to be like that.' They question your passion and vision, delegitimizing you with every sentence." It's actually, how often have whether recently or as a child, how often have we been told, no, you can't do that. You're never going to succeed at that. That's way above you. You need to do this first. You need to do that first. Actually, the world is constantly trying to tell us what we can't do, who we can't be. Got a video clip for you to watch. There's a scene from one of my favourite films, The Lion King. And this point in the film, so for anyone who doesn't know the film, it's about a lion called Simba whose father died in an accident that he believed that he caused. Following that, his father was the king, I should have said, is the king of Pride Rock. Following that, Simba ran away and completely lost track of who he was. So unfortunately, we can't watch the whole film tonight, although I wish we could. But actually, I'm going to daringly say there are a lot of similarities between Simba's story and the story of Simba and the story we've just read in Luke. And I'm going to go through some of them in a moment. But I'm just going to turn to Jo once more, where she says, "The dream of you is about being who you truly are and living the life you were made for. The dream of you is God's vision of you, your real, true identity, and your God-given purpose." So that leaves the question of actually where are we getting our identity from? The son, I think, gets his identity really from four different people. First off is himself. And actually, his changes a lot. He starts off sort of understanding who he was. He knows who his father is. He knows his father has a lot of money. And he knows someday he's going to get that. But actually, all he really sees in that is the entitlement. He places identity or what he has or what he has to come not on his relationship with the father at all. So he leaves home. He uses his money. He spends his money on prostitutes, on wild living. He probably spends it on parties as well, actually becoming quite popular. Though he most likely would have been surrounded by people who would have really liked him. But he places his identity on those around him. Then he lost everything. And his identity completely fell apart. He was feeding pigs and wishing he could eat their food. He completely lost track of who he was. Like Simba in the story, he ran away and forgot who he was. He forgot that he is his father's son. And then when he goes back to his father, he still doesn't get it. He identifies himself as a servant. He says to his father, "Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. Take me as your servant. I'm not fit to be your son anymore." And actually, there's so much in the Bible that tells us that none of those are right. God doesn't see us in any of those ways. He doesn't want us to see ourselves like that either. Then there's the people. As I mentioned, he would have been surrounded by people who would have loved him when he had money. But actually, when that money went, what happened? They all disappeared. He was left feeding pigs on his own. The people around him, placing his identity in the world that is fickle, that will love us as long as we have something to give, but the moment something goes wrong, we're on our own. And then there's the brother. Sure, they were family. They probably loved each other one time. But when we look at what the brother said about him, the brother said, "But I've always been here. I've always done what you've asked me to. I've always been loyal to you. How can you be giving him this treatment?" And actually, the brother had expectations on the son, on the son who ran away. He expected that his brother should act like him, should be as good as him, should be as loyal as him. And when he wasn't, the brother almost turned on him. The brother said, "Well, he doesn't deserve to be in our family anymore." And then there's the fourth voice, the voice of the father, who, despite all that happened, the only thing the father cared about was that his son was back. I'm going to go into that in a bit more detail in a moment, but first I actually I asked you to talk about what your dreams are, and I actually want to say a little bit about mine for a moment. And I could go right back to when I was a child. When I was five, I wanted to be a superhero. When I was 10, I wanted to be an actor. When I was 15, I actually just wanted to be popular. But by the time I was 20, I actually got an idea of what I really wanted to do, what I felt like was right for me to do. My dream was to become a youth worker. And it didn't work. I tried for 3 years to put in applications, loyally and faithfully doing the best that I could, and I was constantly being told, you didn't have enough experience, you're not qualified enough, you don't know what you're doing enough for us to have you. And actually, a lot of people, I lost count of how many times, how many people around me said, are you sure this is the right thing? It's about time to move on, to try something else, to give up. And actually, if I had listened to any of them, I wouldn't be here now. I would have given up. I came close to giving up 2 years ago. But the Father's voice, God's voice, was there telling me that actually that dream, that is a dream of who you are. That is the dream of you. It's not come from those around you. It's not come from within yourself. It's not come from the churches looking for youth workers. That dream has come from me. That's the one that you should be listening to. And now, here I am. But actually, there's so much more that the Father's voice, that there's so much more that God wants to say to us that we so often don't hear because of these other voices are in the way. If we look back at Luke 15, the first thing that he does is the father runs to his son and kisses him and hugs him. Actually, immediately, the father says to his son, I forgive you. Now, the son's still messed up. The son still lost a lot of his father's money, and his father would have been worse off for that. Actually, his father probably would have become a laughingstock. But what he did is he lifted his robes and he ran down the street. He filled himself with shame from onlookers to greet his son to say, I forgive you. In Psalm 32, Psalm 32 starts with, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. And actually, some of us need to, like, I'm sure we all know and we all accept that, yeah, we're forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. But actually, some of us need to understand that that means so much more than God just looking past it. So much more than God just saying, that's fine, that's all right, it doesn't matter. It means God does not hold them against us. God covers our sins. And actually, this is who we are. This is where our identity is, that God says, we are forgiven. But there is nothing that we can do that God will not release us from. The second thing he does with his son is he gives him a robe, gives him sandals, gives him a ring. All of them would have been symbols of him being a part of a family. You wouldn't give that to a servant. You'd give the servant the cheapest clothes to wear, something to cover themselves up with. You wouldn't give them a ring that you probably would have spent a lot of money on. But he does that for his son. The father restores his son back to the status he had before. The father, by doing that, says to his son, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, you are accepted in my family. In Ephesians 2, if I can find the bookmark. In Ephesians 2, verse 18, it says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of the household. And actually, what Paul says there in Ephesians has so much meaning to it, because We are not foreigners who just happen to be adopted, happen to be accepted, happen to be forgiven. God has made us a part of his family. This is who we are. God says we are accepted. And then the third thing, the calf and the feast. Actually, the father does something for his son that he wouldn't do for many other people. He didn't even do it for his son who worked loyally. But he killed the fattest calf and he threw a feast for his son because that's how much he loved him. And just quickly to turn to John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And actually, that's how much God loves us, because he laid down his own life for us. Greater love has no one, there is no greater love than this, to lay down your life for one's friends. That is who we are. God says we are loved. There is so much more that God says, God wants to say to us. These are just some of the things that come out of this passage in Luke. But actually, we can look right through the Bible to find so much more. I'm not going to read it now, but I've got a copy of something called The Father's Love Letter that actually pulls out so many of the things that God says to us and God says about us. That he says we are loved. He says we are his child. He says that he created us. That he knew us before we were born. That he knows how many hairs are on our head. These are all the things that God says to us. But I want to ask you a question. What words do you need to hear God say to you at the moment? And actually, I'm going to ask Ash to come up and play a song for us to listen to. And just for those couple of minutes, I want you to listen to the words of this song. And actually, I want you to just spend a bit of time reflecting and just thinking about, actually, where is our identity placed? What has the world taken from us? What have we taken from ourselves? What have we taken from each other that actually we really need God to place back in our lives and ourselves? I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. This morning we had the joy to watch two people confess that their identity lies in God. In Luke 15, God says, we are forgiven. We are accepted. We are loved. Who does God say you are?